This is an interview with Mary Jane Gervais at her home on Jeffrey Street in Lewiston, Maine on November 3rd, the year 2005. This is Andrea Lemieux, and this is an interview for the Mill Workers Oral History Project. Could you start just by spelling for me your full name?
Mary, Mary Jane Gervais.
And when and where were you born?
In Garrett, Maine.
Where?
That's up north.
Oh, okay.
And
your birthday?
April 5th, 1931.
And did you grow up in the northern part of Maine?
No, we moved from up north, I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. Moved to Biddeford, Maine. We moved to Houghton. First couple of years we were in Houghton. My father had to find work, so then the mill where he worked kind of lapsed, and so we moved to Biddeford where there was work, and then from there we moved here, and we lived in Biddeford a couple of years, and then we moved here, and we've been here since then. So I was 12 years old when we moved here in Lewiston.
And what were your parents' names?
Josephine Lagasse and Donald Lagasse.
And did they work in the mills?
No. My father was a carpenter. My mother, well, she did work at Max Miller's, which was sort of a mill, but not Bates or...
Right. Mm-hmm. And how many brothers and sisters?
One brother and one sister.
And so you were 12 when you came
here? I was 12 when we moved here to Lewiston.
What was Lewiston like at that time in terms of how you see it today?
Well, it was quieter than it is today. And, of course, the kids were more, quiet. Like today, there a lot of them are on, drugs or things like that. And you weren't afraid to go out at night,
Mm-hmm.
We'd play outside we weren't afraid. But today, I wouldn't play outside, at that age. I wouldn't play outside when it's dark.
Yeah. What was the downtown area like? Were there lots of, was it more vibrant shopping area?
Yeah, oh yes. It had a lot of stores then that, like when I was older, of course, every Saturday, my mother and my sister, we'd go out shopping, and we'd stop at Nichols, the restaurant, and have blueberry pie with whipped cream. And we'd shop around, and there was a lot of stores where you could find nice clothes, nice dresses and all that, But today, well, there's not much on Lisbon Street. They're all out, the malls and all that.
So after, what age was it when you went into the mill?
16 years old.
Was that the legal age to begin working?
Yeah, they hired you at 16. But I worked for a little while, and then they passed a law that you had to be 18 to work on the machines. So they laid me off, and then they called me back when I was 18. So I went back, but then I got married, so I quit. And I didn't go back until later on, after the kids were, like my youngest daughter was about 5 years old, mm-hmm. and I went back to Bates. And from then on, a lot of times I was laid off because they didn't have much work. So then they'd call me back. I'd go back,
yeah.
And then after the kids were born, I didn't work for a while. Then in 1971, I went back to Bates, worked in the yarn department. I worked there for probably 11 years,
mm-hmm.
And then I went to.
Go ahead. So we were talking about, you came back in 1971.
71, I went back to work at Bates in the yarn department, and I worked on third and second shifts.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on spoolers and the unicorners.
Now, what are those?
Okay, the spoolers are like you have to feed a machine, a long machine. Mm-hmm. You have to feed them, put in the bobbins, and put up the thread so that when the machine passes by, it picks up the threads and hooks it up onto a cheese,
okay.
And it's on a drum, so they wind around and they make a big cheese. Once that's full, when the machine goes back by, that cheese stays down, so you have to take it off and put on a new starter.
Okay.
So that was the spoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And unicorners, well, it was almost the same thing, but they made cheeses also, but it was a lower machine and not as long. You just fed the like bobbins around, and then that would pick up too and make the same things like cheeses. Yeah, so That was what I did when I went back. And then they laid me off again after, well, I worked in that department for probably close to 11 years. And then I was laid off, and I went to the sample department, worked there for a little while. Then I put my name to work in the finishing room, and I got a job in the finishing room. So I worked there for quite a while, too. Then I was laid off, kept laying me off, and the work was getting slower. So then they send me to the weave room. I worked in the weave room for a little while, and then they called me back on my job in the finishing department. So I'd go back down there, and then they laid me off again. So then one of the bosses, Mr. Provenci in the weave room, saw my name on the list that's laid off. He said, "I want her to come back to work for me." So I went back in the weave room and worked there for 7 months, making the heads, putting up strings for the heads of the patterns. That's where the patterns, the designs come through.
Yeah.
So I worked there for 7 years, sweating.
It was hot.
Well, it was not that it was kind of hard, but it was hot in the weave room, and they needed that steam. So in the summer, you were sweating, you had to tie those strings. You had to string them all up, and then tie. When they hung down, you had to put on little gadgets that they had. And you had to tie that in a knot, and then it took almost over a month or so to make one head. So it was a long process. Then after the knot, you'd have to tie them with pliers and pull, make them tight, and then you'd have to shellac them, so they wouldn't slip off of the while they were going up and down, making the pattern. So then after that, well, they laid me off down there too because it was getting slow. So they sent me to the office. So I worked in the office on the switchboard for maybe 3 months, and then the girl that I was replacing came back because her husband passed away. So I was laid off again. But then they call me back in to work in the office on orders, taking orders, you know, on the computer. But that didn't last too long either, because then the Chinese were involved in there then. And so they decided to move all the office work to the Minette Mills in North Carolina. So then I was laid off again. So then they asked me if I would want to go to work at the store or else be laid off. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'll go to work at the store as a telemarketing, you know. And so I'd have to call in like motels and all that to see if they wanted bedspreads. And, you know, so that I did that for quite a while. And then in the meantime, they asked me to work in the store also at the same time when they needed somebody in the store to help them out. So I'd do that and do work in the office and the store also at the same time. And so I was there for 13 years in the store, and until I retired 4 years ago. So that was about it. So.
Now, you were laid off quite a bit over
quite a
the
bit,
years.
Yes. What, I was laid off quite a bit, yes.
When the times when you were laid off, were they short periods or many different lengths?
No, sometimes probably like 3 months or a couple of months to 3 months sometimes, and then they'd call me back and I'd go back in.
Yeah, it sounds.
And do different jobs. I did different jobs in the yarn department. Sometimes when they didn't have too much work on folding, I used to fold. Mm-hmm. They'd send me doing some other things that needed to be done in the area, you know.
Yeah.
So.
What were some of the difficulties that you encountered from being laid off numerous times?
Well, I to go on unemployment, and that's about it, you know. Look for other work at the meantime, but, you know, but they'd always call me back to go in.
Over all your different jobs that you did in the mill over the years, do you have a favorite or something that you really enjoy?
Well, I enjoyed working in the store. Mm-hmm. Doing the office work, helping in the store, and you know, I was on customer service. People would call in and I'd take the orders, or you know, and make sure that they would get out and all that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. I talked to a lot of people that would come in, and and when I was in the store, and it was fun. It was, and I liked my boss, which Nancy Higgins, I don't know if you know.
Yes. Her.
And I worked with Howard Ashby. And it was just like a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was enjoyable.
Did you have any involvement with the union when you were at Bates?
No. I was with the union, but I had nothing to do mm-hmm. with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Were there ever any strikes that you can recall?
I recall a couple of them, yes. We went to the meetings hoping they wouldn't strike.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't strike at that time, though.
Neither of those?
No. I remember one though, that my husband was working then at Bates, and I wasn't working at the time,
mm-hmm.
and they did strike. And that one was hectic, because, you know, there was nothing coming in, so it was kind of...
Do you remember what the issue was?
I can't remember that, no.
Yeah. So your husband worked at the mill?
Yes.
For
him? Yeah.
How many years?
He worked there for over 40 years.
Yeah. And what sorts of jobs did he do?
He took care of the bobbins in the yarn department.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end he was working in the, not the yard, but the, I can't remember that name of that job, but it was, he drove a little truck there in the yard, and he'd have to... whatever came in, into, you know, and whatever went out, he'd have to weigh it and everything.
Mm-hmm. And what was his name?
Wilfred Jervis. Yeah. He passed away like 6 years ago.
Yeah. Were you involved in any activities that were sponsored by the mills? I know that at some point they had like bowling leagues. And
no, I never was, no.
Yeah. No. Did you have a social circle of friends that worked at the mill with you, or?
Well, yeah, in the finishing room, the first time I saw the finishing room, I couldn't believe it, because I was working in the sample department, and the lady brought me into the finishing room, and we just stood above them on like a little balcony, like, mm-hmm. and I can't believe I've never seen so many women working in one room all together.
Uh-huh.
You could see the whole finishing room, you know, stitchers and folders mm-hmm. and all that. I couldn't believe how many people were in that room. But then I went to work in the finishing room after that, and I got friendly with most of those women,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still friends with some of them today. Yeah. So it was a nice time, nice people.
Yeah. Are there memories you have of the mill that you can share with me? Experiences, or funny, or sad, or, you know, any kind?
I can't think of anything.
Did people ever play pranks, or was it just very, very serious?
Well, my friend and I played some pranks, but I don't think I'd want to say them.
Okay.
Well, once we were just 16 years old then, and there was this man. Well, we tried to get this man and this lady together, and we'd tell her that he was interested in him, and we'd tell him that she was interested in him, trying to get them together. And one, I don't know if they ever did, but anyways, one time, this man was always wearing the same clothes, and they were kind of filthy. So my friend and I, let's have him, you know, change those clothes. So my friend was talking to him while I was spraying him with oil. I was spraying him with oil, and then when he noticed what we were doing, he was so upset. And I said, well, have him clean and I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about all the yeah. one thing that I remember that we were pretty bad.
Do you have memories of or do you have other relatives that worked in the mill as well?
My aunt, mm-hmm. my aunt Jane, she worked on third shift, and when I went to work there at Bates in the spooling department, she's the one that trained me on the spoolers,
mm-hmm.
and. We worked on third shift, which was very hard. You know, you're always sleepy.
Is that midnight or 11 to 7?
Yes, 11 to 7 was yeah. third shift. And So I know every time it came like 6 o'clock in the morning, she'd really be tired and wanting to sleep. And on spoolers, you know, you have to keep feeding this machine, because when it goes around, if there's no thread in, you know, no bobbins and thread hanging up there for it to pick up, then all the cheeses come back down and it makes them soft, and they didn't like that. So, you know, you have to try to fill up that machine. I can't remember how many bobbins you have to put in before it came around. It must have been 300 and something bobbins that you had to do. If you had a bad bobbin that was, you know, bad that you couldn't pull it out fast, yeah, you were having a hard time, and you have to have that machine filled by before it goes by. So plenty of times we couldn't fill it. We didn't have time. The machine would go by. And anyways, and then when it would stop on the end for not too long, then you try to pick up. But then sometimes you still if you had, like I say, bad bobbins, and if you were slow, well, of course the machine went by and you didn't have time to fill it. Anyways, one time my aunt was like, you know, was kind of getting tired, and she was sleeping standing up, and she was still working. She was still putting out thread, but she was sleeping, just standing there. And I happened to look at her. I said, "Oh my goodness, I better go wake her up." So I went over and I told, I know, kind of not to scare her, and I told her. I said, "Woke her up," and she didn't know. She didn't realize that she was doing that. Just standing there, and she was still working, but nothing was happening. So the boss came around the corner at the same time when she woke up. So, you know, that time in the morning, like that, like 6 o'clock, there you'd start getting tired and sleepy. Yeah so.
Now, with you and your husband both working in the mill, did the management work with you so that you'd be on different shifts to be able to take care of the kids?
No.
So you really...
We had to plan, you know, that when he was on second, I was on third. So we'd have, when I'd leave for work before he came home, he'd be on second. I'd have somebody kind of, the neighbors, you know, kind of keep an eye for 5-10 minutes before he would come home. And that's the way we had it. So when he went on first, then I was still on third. So the kids were in school then, so that, you know, it wasn't as bad. And I'd come home and go to bed, and when they came back from school, well, I was home, you know. So in the summer, well, he was home during the day, so if I was on second or third, well, he'd watch the kids, and we had to plan it that way.
Yeah.
Plenty of times, too, when he was on second, and I was on third, and, you know, you get tired at night, so you go to bed and try to sleep a couple of hours before you go to work. And the girls, well, I'd say, okay, you can watch TV, but you go to bed by 8 o'clock or whatever, you know. And then they come, "Mom, can we stay another hour? This show we want to watch." Now it's so sleepy, okay. And plenty of times my husband would come in, and I was still in bed, and I didn't get up to go to work. Then I had to rush, really rush. And a couple of times it happened, and then finally, well, I was on spooling then. So if you're not there when your work is starting, like 11 o'clock, you're not there, they have to strip that machine, that side of the machine, because all the cheeses will fall back down because there's nothing to tie them. So they take them all down. So then I'd come in 15 minutes late. They didn't like that too much. They'd have to pull them all back in. So anyway, I did that maybe 3 times. The third time, the boss said, "Don't you have an alarm clock?" That was the last time I was late.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think is important to add in terms of the mills and, you know, a sense of the work and the time period? And
I can't really think of anything. I just remember when I first started working at the Bates, 16 years old, you were wearing dresses then. And, you know, today you wear slacks or jeans or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was a different time there. everybody had dresses on. And in the morning, the older ladies would go in where their lockers were, or whatever, mm-hmm. and they'd change right in front of you. Take off their dresses, and you'd see them in slips. And that was different than it is you know, later on. And it was different because then you'd wear a pair of jeans or slacks, and you'd keep them on to go home. Yeah. It wasn't like it was in those days.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times too, you couldn't wear open shoes because of the risk of hurting mm-hmm. yourself. So you'd have to wear shoes that were harder a little bit. Yeah.
Were there a lot of injuries that happened on the job, or what?
Well, I remember one that happened when I was on the spoolers in the yarn department. One girl was working on another machine. I can't recall the name of it, but she had her finger cut off. So they rushed her to the hospital, I guess. And then somebody came and looked for the rest of the finger, and they found it, and they passed it back to me with a finger. I almost passed out. So that was one thing that I remember of an accident. And another, well, myself, when I was spooling, and the bobbins get stuck sometimes on the strap. So I had gone, put my hand in there to kind of loosen them up, and then one of them came up and caught my finger there, and I couldn't get it out. So of course they came and shoved the machine, and then that was really cut, and it was really hurting. That was on third shift. So the boss brought me down to the nurse's station, and there was nobody there because it was third shift. So he called the doctor, and the doctor came down. I was laying down, but the boss was walking around. He was all white and nervous. And anyway, the doctor came and stitched it. And the next day when I went back to see the nurse, she opened that up. I almost passed out. I said, please let me lay down. So it was all pussy. So that's another thing that happened. But
before we started taping, you were talking about having seen some time ago pictures of the canal.
Yes, yes.
What time? Do you know what time period that was when the canal was being built?
I can't remember. I would have that information. I let my mm-hmm. friend use it. I probably have that information in that.
Right, yeah. Right. And you were saying that they can't find a lot of those pictures.
Well, a lot of pictures that I was talking about that we had seen then, and we had took a few mm-hmm. copies of them, that I asked somebody else if they where they were, and they didn't know. Mm. So I don't know if where they ended up. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So there were some that the workers were in the overalls,
mm-hmm.
and they were down in the building the canal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I get those back, I'll bring them to Rachel.
That'd be great.
To have her look at them and take copies, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.